as well. Several other complications. She's in the process of being admitted. Nancy's not doing well. Of course, you know, Larry fell and had to get stitches, and he's bruised up on his face. So they're really going through it right now. Mike Davidson also told me on the way here tonight that his mom, Miss Betty, she's been visiting with us for a while when she's up here, has COVID, and she's now taken to the emergency room. And so she's not doing well, and Mike's pretty nervous, asking that we pray for Miss Betty. Several others that you probably know of, I do too. If you think about those folks, this Saturday is the Maywood Benefit Dinner. Is that right, Dax? Okay, I don't have the sheet in front of me. What time is it at? 5:30 at Heritage. They even have some entertainment coming. So it's going to be a great night. 5:30 Heritage, the Maywood Benefit Dinner. If you're able to be a part of that, I know Maywood's blessed many of your lives and your children's lives, maybe even grandchildren at this point. So be mindful of that. Also, I booked Maywood for a church-wide retreat September 30th through October 2nd. That's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's $18 per person per night. And yes, Maywood has air conditioning. So everybody will be comfortable there. They also have RV camper hookups. That's a first come, first serve. So if anybody's into that sort of thing, you can go bring your RV, your camper, and be a part of the weekend there with us. That's a church-wide retreat, not just a family retreat. I think we had something like 60 people at our family retreat last year. I'd love to double that number, maybe 120 people come to our church retreat at Maywood. That's September 30th through October 2nd. I'll have more information about that in the lobby. Thanks. Thanks, Sonny. Appreciate
it.
Yes, sir. Betty has pneumonia?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Miss Betty Tatum has been taken to the hospital with pneumonia. Let's just be, you know, Sonny, if you don't mind, I'm going to lead us in a prayer for our folks.
Okay.
Real quick, that'd be...
Remember my wife. She's having some back scans, x-rays tomorrow and next Thursday. She's not feeling well, so please remember Jackie,
okay,
if you don't mind, please.
Okay.
Danny Chandler? Okay. Okay. I didn't know that. Danny Chandler passed away this afternoon. Man, oh, man. All right. I'll do my best, remember. But place these people in your hearts as well. God will hear. Father God, we know as we pray that you hear us. In part, Father, because you know us better than we know ourselves. We are aware of and in faith believe about the intercession that we have in Jesus. But even in times when we don't know what to pray for as we ought to, that your Spirit intercedes for us. That your Spirit intercedes for us. And so however these prayers and this prayer is heard from my lips and from the collective heart of the body at Florence Boulevard, thank you for hearing and knowing. I want to pray for the Chandler family as his passing is in his death. We're grateful, Father, though, that in Christ, this death is just of the flesh, but the Spirit will last into eternity. And thank you for that assurance. And I pray for your comfort for that family, for Miss Jackie and for Miss Nancy and Miss Betty Davidson and Miss Betty Tatum, all of their specific issues, Father, we lift up to you in prayer. As we have prayed many times before, our trust is not in the flesh nor this life. While we want and would love to see people get better, be better quickly, and for that we do pray, our trust and our faith is in you as the great physician, and we know that you will heal in your time and for your purposes. Whether that be now or in eternity, we put our faith in you. And so no sickness, no sin, no issue can hold us down because of the life you've promised in Christ. And let that be our anthem. Let that be our mindset, our motivation, and our comfort, and especially in these times when our loved ones are hurting and suffering. And so as you hear this prayer, Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Austin. Prayer is powerful, not only for the mind, but the body. Thank you all so much for being here tonight. Wednesday night Bible study, conclusion of Vacation Bible School. I've enjoyed so much being with you and being able to be with you each night. And thank you for everyone that's been able to be here, and especially tonight as we wind up. Happy campers. The first night when I looked around and I said, some of y'all don't look like happy campers, but the rest of the week you've looked a lot happier. I love hearing the children sing, and I'm amazed that people can do things with the children like they do. I just never could when I was a youth minister, and I enjoy watching them. What amazes me is people that put these songs together. I can't imagine. Years ago at Maywood, it seemed like every year somebody would come up with a new song. I don't know how they did that, but boy. And those songs we sang at Maywood, and you still sing at Maywood, are worship songs. I know tonight is a lot of enjoyment and fun, but it's been a good week. Looking for a good night. But I might get in a little trouble tonight, Brother Bill. I just might get in a little trouble. Because I did not put a whole lot of things down on my notes. Because you know what tonight is? What's the theme or the lesson tonight? Telling stories around a campfire. When I was a boy, I went to camp when I think I was in the fifth grade. First time I got my first black eye. I always remember that camp. Gone to Maywood a bunch of years. And I don't ever remember just one person telling a story, but many people would tell stories. So tonight, I want to hear from you all. I'm not going to ask you to tell a long and all of a story, but I'm going to ask you, and if you would, just tell me maybe what your favorite story is. We'll get there, but I want you to be thinking about that. Your favorite story, your favorite happening in the Bible. If you want to tell some of it, that's okay. Is that Doyce over there? Man alive, Brother Doyce, good to see you. I broke my glasses, and I've got old reading glasses, and you can only see so far with them. I hadn't seen Doyce in a while. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. One of the best men on the face of the earth right there. This fella taught me how to cook a good steak. it's so good to see you. I saw Mike come in, but boy, let me tell you what I did one time at Mount Zion. We had Doyce Wade and Doyce Clemens. Doyce Clemens, of course, is a lady. And I got up there and I said, well, after Bible study tonight, Doyce Clemens is going to lead us in prayer. And boy, You know how country folks are, good country conservative folks. They all kind of stiffened up on me, and I met Doyce Wade. And Miss Doyce got after me after that, too. I think she thought I did it on purpose. Now, y'all laughed a little bit. Thank you. I remember that first thing I told that first Sunday night, y'all just sat there. You don't know how hard it is when a preacher tells something that you're supposed to laugh and you don't. You've got to have a real quick comeback. And that's hard to do sometimes. But brethren, thank you so much for allowing Jackie and I to be with you. Like I said, she's not here tonight. She's developed some back problems, and boy, she's in a good bit of pain this evening. And got some other tests. If y'all just remember seeing your prayers in the days to come, she's got some other tests she'll be having to take. But she has almost always been with me anytime I travel and go somewhere. We don't go far, but anytime I'd be somewhere, she would. Is pretty much, when she don't feel like it, she'll get up and go anyway. And I've you know what a good wife is. I can't tell you about all that. You know what a good wife is. Telling campfire stories. It says about the children's classes, it's nice to sit around the campfire and tell each other stories. mentioned to you last night, I love to tell stories. And the good thing about being 70, the stories don't always end the same way. I meet every third Saturday with a group of guys I graduated high school with. And in fact, it's this Saturday coming up. We'll meet this month. And there was a boy in class that every time I would see him, I'd say, "Man, Ray, do you remember when you lived down the street from me? And we'd ride bicycles up and down Michigan Avenue. We'd go over in the Marlboro drive-in theater during the day and sometimes at night." And he never would say nothing. I told that story I don't know how many times. And one day he spoke up and he said, "Sonny, I never lived on Michigan. I never lived down the road from you. And I never rode bicycles with you." I said, "Ray, you're not telling the truth." I had it in my head. It was a boy named Gary Wiley. It wasn't Ray Wiley. And I guess he got tired of hearing it. And I can still tell stories like that. I can get a story mixed up real well. But now he and I have always got something to talk about bicycle riding when we was boys. It's nice to sit around the campfire and tell stories. Kids will learn that we have the best story ever to tell, that Jesus is alive. If just one thing could come out of this VBS is that children will say to their friends, "Jesus is alive." Isn't it amazing? And it just maybe send chill bumps up and down you when we read the story when the angel says, "He's not here, he's risen." And if we could just get our children to learn that story and tell that story. And I'll tell you when we will get them is when we do it first. When we do it first. We don't jump up and scream and holler and have the enthusiasm our children's do in VBS. But brethren, we need to have great enthusiasm in telling the stories of the Bible. Our passage is going to come from Matthew 28, 1 through 12, and Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll go over to Deuteronomy in a few minutes, and then Matthew. But it says on the theme of the paper, "This story will be told to the end of time." And I believe it will. Not just at Easter time, but that is a good time to tell it, what we call Easter. That is a good time to tell the story and preach lessons about that great resurrection. And about that great resurrection that's coming. But all times. I'm a Google man. I like using Google. I look up a whole lot of things on Google. And let me just tell you this. If you're trying to find a passage in the Bible and you just can't think of it, you might not have a concordance in your house. Man, with Google, you can find any scripture you want. I'm not afraid to use the internet. Some people say, "Oh, don't use that internet. Everything on there is not true." Well, that's true. It's not true. But boy, you can find a lot of things. I can Google something quicker than I can get my concordance and find it. But don't be afraid to learn scriptures any way that you can learn them. So I got on Google and I typed in greatest stories in the Bible. Well, man, all kind of stuff come up. But here's one come up. Now, I haven't bought this book. I'm probably not going to buy this book. But it come up to tell about a book. It's called The 52 Greatest Stories of the Bible. And I wish that they would have given an outline and named all the stories. They didn't. But there was a few things on there that I thought was great. It says the 52 stories of the Bible impresses upon readers the beautiful interconnectedness of the varied narratives we find in the Bible. It connects the dots, demonstrating how each individual story is really one chapter in the larger story, and that's true. Shows how Jesus, especially his death and resurrection, is the point of the story, even when the Son of God is not a key player. But here's what it said that I really liked. It helps readers build a biblical worldview that answers the ultimate questions of life. Readers will gain a better grasp of the whole story of Scripture. Now, brethren, that's what we're looking for. The whole story of Scripture. Was it 13 or 17 things he does in that little song that goes all the way through the Bible? I've never heard. I like that. I'm going to get him to print that out for me. That's a series of sermons right there. Boy, you can make a tremendous series of sermons and take a congregation, a class, and in a couple of weeks, or rather a couple of months, through the story of the Bible. We've got to get the story of the Bible down. I've told you several times there's so much that I miss growing up, never being around a Bible, never having a Bible, and I get the stories mixed up. I even confess to you that sometimes trying to sing that Old Testament song that I don't get all the way through it. I don't know about you. You might know that Old Testament song perfectly. I get mixed up sometimes. We need a better grasp of the whole story. In telling the story of the Bible, and here's maybe where we're going to camp a minute. And telling the story of the Bible, tell your story. I love to hear people's story. Tell your story. In Acts chapter 9, Luke tells about the story of Saul of Tarsus. Now, Luke, of course, writes all the book of Acts, but yet he's telling the story. But in chapter 22 and 26... it says Saul or Paul telling his story. And I love the way Paul would tell his story. He told it to a guy by the name of Felix and Festus and Agrippa. And telling the story, he preached to them about judgment and righteousness and judgment to come. One of them even said, Now, Paul, do you really think you can convince me to become a Christian in such a short time? And some of them liked what he said. One of these guys even made the comment, you know, if you give me a little bit of money, we'll do whatever you want to do. Now, that's paraphrasing, of course, but if you'll give me a little bit of money, we'll take care of this matter. And he didn't, so he just left him in jail for 2 years. Telling the story, our own story. The story how he came to faith in Jesus. Do you remember how you came to faith in Jesus? Even if you was reared in the church, spent all your life going to church, do you remember when you came to faith? I told you we didn't go to church, and how I came to faith with the guy began to teach us. And I don't know if y'all caught it the other night, because I didn't see no reaction from no one. But remember I told you about the guy that began to talk to me on the way to work, and he's going to come over and show us the Jewel Miller film strips. And that was back in the day. It was a little record and a little ding, then you'd change it. And he had never done it before, and he brought someone with him. Do you remember who I told you he brought with him? I said it for a purpose, and I didn't know anything about it. Glenn Tatum, one of y'all's members. I've never forgot about Glenn Tatum coming to my house and just helping this guy. I've always told him, man, you helped convert me to Christ. Oh, he just came one time to help, but I've never, ever forgot it. Here's another thing about stories. Don't forget the people that brought you where you are. Don't ever forget them. Remember them. Praise them. There's been several times Glenn and Betty would come where I was preaching somewhere, and I'd always tell folks, hey, this guy help bring me to Christ. Have you ever helped to bring someone to Christ? Maybe you didn't sit down and just open the Scriptures and teach them yourself, but maybe you helped someone else like Glenn did. Glenn and Betty's been good to Jackie and I. They've carried us out to eat. They've done a lot of great things for us. But they've never done something so great as help lead me to Christ. Do you ever, sometimes at night, lying in bed and wondering where you would be if someone didn't introduce you to Jesus? Jackie and I wasn't heading in bad places in our life. We really wasn't. We had a daughter that was about 3 years old, a little over two, and had a son on the way. Did you know that our son has been baptized twice? I became a Christian January the 8th, 1975. Jackie became a Christian February the 21st of 1975. And Matt was born March 3rd. Now you count it up, February 21 to March 3rd. Oh, Matt was about ready to get here. And the preacher that baptized her, I just always love this story. This is a picture in my mind I'll never forget. The preacher that baptized her, it was just Jackie and the preacher and myself at the church building. That's the same way it was when I was baptized. But when he started to put her under the water, he looked up at me real sheepishly. And he had to put his hand on her stomach and push her down. And I just looked at him and smiled. I didn't mind him putting his head on my wife's stomach to get her under the water because she had a floating device. She wasn't going under. But he was baptized twice. He was baptized again when he was about 14. And boy, that one stuck. But tell your story and don't be afraid to share it with everybody. All week long, I've been telling you my story. When I'd go to Maywood, I'd always get to speak sometime in chapel, in one of the chapel services, and I always told the same story. But I only got one story, that Jesus saved me from sin. That's what he did. I'd tell it in a little different ways, but that Jesus saved me from sin. I'm going to say that many of you, maybe all of you, have a greater story than mine. I promise you, you've got a story. And somebody wants to hear it. If we'll just get to talking to people and begin to tell them your story, but here's something that's important. Listen well when someone wants to tell you their story. Brother Darrell Davis taught me a wonderful lesson years ago. I got to work with Brother Darrell Davis for 11 and a half years. I was always introduced as Brother Darrell's assistant, and that never bothered me because I was. And he helped me so much. But one of the great ways he helped me was to listen. I like to talk. I like to interrupt people when they're talking and start talking. He never told me to stop doing that, but he taught me to listen. And I love to listen to people's story. You know, some people's got some terrible stories, hard stories, gut-wrenching stories. And sometimes they want to tell you about it. Some people's got wonderful, tremendous stories that they love to tell. I've got a good friend. He laughs at me, but he's a good friend. Because whenever I'm with him, he just makes me want to tell things about myself, my family life. And I love him because he makes me want to tell good stories. Other night, Sunday night, we had a visitor, and I hadn't seen this boy in probably close to 40 years. He was in the youth group of our first youth ministry work. He was in the youth group. And after Sunday night, and I told a bunch of my story Sunday night, he came up to me, and he said, "Sonny, I learned a lot about you. I didn't know years ago that, you know, you wasn't a Christian, didn't grow up a Christian." And I was glad he did that because I'm glad he knows my story. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Oh, wow. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, to me, just to me, Deuteronomy 6 is one of those pinnacle chapters in the Bible for us today. Now, the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land, and Moses tells them or gives them the law the second time, or reminds them of the law. Before you go in there, you need to know this, he says. And in chapter 6 of what we have in our Bible, he tells the parents, tell your children this story. Parents and grandparents, we need to do this. Verse 1, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess. That you may fear the Lord your God and to keep all His statutes of His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you and you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them, you shall tell them the story diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, as they shall be frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. He says, you make sure you tell this story. You make sure you tell your children this wonderful story. We're going to talk about the story of the resurrection, about what some great, or maybe some other great stories in the Bible that you can think of. But I want to ask you this question. You can answer if you want to, or just listen to either one. Why is the resurrection the greatest story in the Bible? Why is it the greatest story in the Bible? That's right. Absolutely. Thank you. We wouldn't have any hope. Hope. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of this is love. That's 1 Corinthians 13. And that phrase is used 4 or 5 times. I've got it listed somewhere in a sermon I preached just recently, and I can't recall them all right now. And we always want to say, well, the greatest of all is love. And it is, I guess. But I like hope. Sometimes we speak, and maybe it sounds like we're bragging or something like that, but I do not ever want to lose hope. Do we understand how powerful hope is? I've not yet been to a place where in my life, our life, Jackie and I, we've not been to a place where something seemed hopeless. We've never reached there. And I know some of y'all have, where it just seemed hopeless in a situation. But my faith in Christ, the hope that I have in Jesus, I won't let you, I won't allow you to take it away from me. I'll be ugly to you if you try it. Hope is the most wonderful, and that's what we find in the resurrection. Maybe somebody else, why is the resurrection the greatest story ever told? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you. Anybody else? Turn to Matthew 28, and we'll look there. And I'm going to have to stop in a few minutes and let you tell me. Well, let's just make sure we get to where I want us to get. What's your greatest story in the Bible? What story would you tell? Mine, I was going to say John 20 with doubting Thomas, but what's your greatest story in the Bible? Come on now, don't be bashful. And you have to speak up real loud. Remember, I'm deaf in one ear and can't hear out the other. Yes, the prodigal son, yes. And you know, there were two sons, wasn't it? Yeah, but that son, I told you the other night about one of the first books I read as a Christian, little old bitty short book, a little white cover and a little short book, and the titles were God Run. God will run when his son, his daughter, his child is coming back home. Oh, thank you. Another story in the Bible. I know you got one. I hate to be in a crowd and a preacher, and this happens at the preacher's luncheon a lot. Somebody will ask a question and nobody will answer. I just can't stand that. I'll say something. It ain't always maybe the right thing to say. I don't ever say anything ugly, of course, but if someone asked a question, I like to answer it. How about you? You know, we're timid. We shouldn't be timid. I'm not fussing. I'm just saying.
So is Father Abraham.
Oh, yes. Father Abraham. Oh.
Raised his hand above his son, his only son, with a knife who was going to kill him. And God saw his back.
You know, I'd be almost tempted to say that I can't fathom that, but I can. Because it's faith. And it was accounted to him from Hebrews chapter 11 that he did the deed. Man, what a story. And there's so many things, good things, as you was talking, that we could put in there that happened and even some of the reactions. What's a story for you, your greatest story? Now, one of two things. We might not know the stories of the Bible, or we might be condemned. Now, Church of Christ, this is us in this auditorium class. We've been conditioned not to ever say anything, and that might be part of it. And again, I don't mean to be fussing, but I hope I can get some. What's the greatest story for you?
In the conversion of Saul.
Sir?
In the conversion of
Saul. Yes. Absolutely. We just mentioned, you know, those three different accounts of his story and his conversion. The day I started to international, and what I was going to say first, I meant to say first, was he immediately started preaching. Man, this guy immediately. Now he was a Bible scholar already. He knew the scriptures well, but he immediately started preaching. The first chapel I went to at International Bible College in January 1983, a guy sitting right over from me. We're still dear friends. And we all had to get up and say something. And I'll never forget what this guy said. He said, well, it was asked, why did we want to preach? He said, well, my wife left me a year or so ago. He said, we worked in the same plant. And every day we'd meet coming back and forth, and I'd stop the car and I'd throw up. And so he said, I went on a three, I can't remember if it was a 3 month or a 6 month drunk. He went on a 3 or 6 month drunk. And he said, when I sobered up, I called a fella that preached where my mother and them went to church. His name was Rick Rowland. Some of y'all might know or heard of Rick Rowland. He's still a good, great preacher, good guy. And he said, we studied and I was baptized into Christ, and I'm going to preach for the rest of my life. Now, boy, that's a story right there. That's a story. One that he wasn't in Christ. He didn't want to be in Christ. He grew up in a Christian home. Bad things happened in life. He went to the bottle, and at the end of the bottle, a man brought him to Jesus. And he said, I'll never stop preaching in my whole life. I think that's a great story that goes along with conversion and things that happen in conversion. We become someone different. Thank you. What's another great story? What's a story that just excites you maybe more than anything else? Who?
Daniel.
Oh, yes. Yes. He was chosen because he was a good-looking young man. He was put in positions because he was smart. And he was put in positions to deny his God. And because of him, there was a king that honored his God. I believe in your God. Oh, Daniel was a... I don't know how many sermons I've heard or read. It's titled, Dare to be a Daniel. I dare you to be a Daniel. When I was a boy, and y'all are probably the same way, don't dare me to do something. I did some terrible things on some dares. But I dare you to be a Daniel. I dare you to go into the lion's den. Thank you. Yes, good story. Man, that's a good story. Somebody else. Oh, David, yes.
I like that one because I've got a 6-year-old daughter, but probably from age 3 where she could really, give you feedback on her thoughts and things. She found so much courage to that story that took her to preschool.
How about that?
And even at that young age.
Yes. So
that long to be inspired by that story.
David and Goliath. Well, you're nothing but a shepherd boy. Just a shepherd boy. Why don't you go home to daddy? And remember when Saul wanted to put his armor on him? And Saul was a head and shoulders taller than everybody else. And here's a boy. And he went out and he faced his giant. I remember a fella come forward one Sunday. Oh, he was addicted to alcohol. Tobacco. Oh, he was addicted to tobacco. He was. He knew it. And he come forward one Sunday and he said, I want to slay the giants in my life. That wasn't the only one, but I want to slay the giants in my life. Well, pick up a couple pebbles and get you a sling and go after him. That's a good story. What's another story? We ain't got long, so come on. Absolutely. He just really didn't want to. He had these excuses. He couldn't speak well. Let me tell you what happened to me a senior year in high school. Now, I was a dummy. I really wasn't a dummy. I was never taught to learn, and I just never learned. And senior high school in football, every game, two different seniors got to be the captains. Well, it come my time to be captain. I didn't know how to be a captain. And the worst thing, you had to get up at the pep rally and say something. I was horrified. And the guy before me was named Jack, and old Jack was charismatic. He got up and he gave his speech, and everybody stood up and they was clapping. And before they quit clapping, I jumped up and said what I said and sat down, and they stopped and they looked at me and they started clapping again. And here's what I said. Never in my life will I speak on a microphone. That thing scared me. Never in my life will I do something like that. And then Jesus got a hold of me. But I know how Moses felt. I do. And I bet a lot of us do. And you know what? He still was scared. And God said, well, take your brother with you. If you can't do it, just take your brother with you. Good story. Anybody else? Oh, yes, Mark 16. After the resurrection, Jesus said, you go tell the disciples and Peter that everything's going to be okay. That is a tremendous story because he had just messed up. He had done the most awful thing he denied his Lord. He said he wouldn't. He said he'd die for him, but he denied him anyway. And he got that second chance. I've had some churches give me a second chance. Sometimes we do things that we wish we hadn't done, shouldn't have done, maybe said things to the elders we shouldn't have said. And I had a church that hired me as assistant preacher and kept me there for 11 and a half years, and one day they said, you know, it's time you go preach. They supported me all through my years at IBC. Then we stayed 6.5 more years, and they met with me one day and said, you got to go preach sometime. It's time you to go preach. And I was upset. I thought they'd just done me wrong. And they hadn't. But then they hired me back 6.5 years later. I didn't stay but 3 years that time. When I come back, I didn't stay long at all. But one of the elders come up, and he said, Sonny, I'm going to help you. You don't know how to organize anything. And that was the truth. That was the problem. He said, but I'm going to help you. Helping one another, taking care of one another, and having a second chance. When we went back to Petersville, I had a second chance. And you know what I did? I ruined it. I ruined that second chance, but they loved me anyway. Anybody else? The what? Oh, yes. Man. Can you imagine? We know about temptation. We understand temptation. And some people will say, well, Jesus really wasn't tempted. Yes, he was. How do you know? Because it said he was. And he endured it. And he used the scriptures and said, it's written and it's written and it's written. And that's how we'll get through it today. Thank you so much. Let me share real quick with you Man, the story I love. After the resurrection, Jesus met with the disciples. But old Thomas wasn't there. And so he meets with them again. In verse 24, John 20, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. And so he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into the side, I'll not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Remember last night, I know twice, maybe three times, I mentioned John chapter 2, the last part of verse 25, that Jesus knows what's in man. He knows what man's thinking. And he looked and he said to Thomas, Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Thomas, do not be unbelieving. And here to me is some of the most wonderful words. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. I try to picture that. How he said it. When I was a young Christian, hadn't been a Christian long, I remember a preacher saying this. I'd like to know how people said things when they said something. What, how they said it? The inflection of their voice. Did he scream it out? Did he whisper it? But he said, "My Lord and my God." But here's my passage, Thomas. Because you've seen me, you've believed. You have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I've not seen with the physical eye. But boy, I believe. What do I believe? What was mentioned a while ago. The death, burial, and the resurrection. Jesus went to the cross. Died. They buried him. He arose. And today I'm a Christian. I've been saved from sin because of that one thing. Thank you so much for letting us be with you. We've enjoyed it. I hope you have. You're a lovely, lovely, good, faithful church. You do great things. But remember, I kept saying over and over, if you just do things in the church, within the church, within the meeting house and just right around here, you can be a good church, but you can't be a Great Commission church till you get outside. Be a Great Commission church. Be a Daniel and step out. Thank you so much. And we'll be dismissed.